Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Good morning and welcome to this edition of our International Divine Intervention Day programming. We're so excited to have all of you here with us this morning, and we're glad that you took time out of your busy schedule to join us. Thank God for everyone being here. We're going to begin by giving you our welcome and purpose this morning. The welcome and purpose is designed. This is International Divine Intervention Day programming. This is where we ask God, the Father, the Creator, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the Trinity, to intervene into the affairs of humanity, into our affairs as humans. Some people may feel that God has just created us and given us life, and the rest is up to us. The rest is up to us. Some people may feel that way. Others feel perhaps differently. But we do want to go ahead and say that this is what God has given to all of us for the welcome and the purpose to be here this morning to ask God, hey, God, you know, will you please intervene? It could be something in your personal life. It could be something in your professional life. Where you are just asking God, you're petitioning God to intervene. God, we can't do this by ourselves. I mean, if you look at the world, the chaos, the crisis, it just seems to be completely out of control. I know the Bible tells us that it repented God to his heart that he had even created us. And look, we've just made things a mess. So what we want to do is, no matter what we are going through, a lot of people say, you're actually growing through that. You know, it's here to help you to be stronger. It serves a purpose. Okay. Password, thank you. You know, we go through tribulations and trials that can make us stronger. And by God's grace, we do get stronger if we don't give up. So that's the purpose. So we want to go ahead once again and welcome you, each and every one of you all, and thank you so very much for your getting up early this morning to join us in these programs every other week on Saturday mornings. I know it's early, and then many of you stay with us for the duration of the time, which is the full 2 hours. So, and we're happy to have Principal LeBron joining us this morning to be with us this morning as he helped and assist me in co-hosting the program. We're going to pause for a moment and ask Pastor Rowe, who's just joined us, if he would go ahead and give us our opening prayer. Good morning, Pastor Rowe, and all of you all. Pastor Rowe?
Walker, and all the hosts and co-hosts, Lord. And as we go forward,
you for that. Principal LeBron, good morning to you. And I wanted to ask if you would give us our scripture reading and interpretation. And today's theme is how long can we continue to blame Adam and Eve for our willful sinning? And today's message we're going to do in concert. We're going to have one of those sort of open mics where we do today's lesson. So, and then I'll give a little short closing, if I may. But in just a minute, will you give a scripture reading on Adam and Eve? And when they, that scripture will come from where they went and they partook of the fruit that God told them not to. And we want you to take your time in giving that scripture and interpretation in just a minute. Will you do that for us, Principal LeBron, in a few minutes?
Yes, good morning, everyone. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. This is a wonderful time that we actually come together in the morning, in the wee early parts of the morning to be in God's presence. And I want to go over the scripture, but before I do, I want to make sure that you are also being a digital disciple by still inviting or texting your friends to ask them to come on the line. And Dr. Walker?
Yes.
I want to ask you the particular verse.
It's found in Genesis where Adam and Eve, I'll give it to you in just a second. It's where they... particular fruit. And we're, if you have the King James Bible, if you're looking at... I'm sorry, go ahead.
And so Genesis chapter 3, if we look at Genesis chapter 3, you know,
Genesis 3:6, yeah, Genesis 3:6. Genesis 3:6. Genesis 3:6. I'm sorry.
The love that God has for Adam and Eve when He created them, and we want to see just exactly because He loved them so much. You know, God kind of gave them a warning. You know, told them. You know, look, there's all these trees that I've made, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden don't touch it, don't eat it, lest you die. And but you want to pay attention to verse 6, Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. It says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree to lead them to make one wise, she took up the fruit thereof and did eat. And gave it also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. First off, in this text alone, we see that we're at a point where Eve has made her decision. She was coerced, though, by the devil, by the serpent, which told her a lie and says that, don't you know that the day that you eat, that you're not going to die, eyes will be open, you will be wise, you will be as a God, knowing good from evil. But there lies where the devil has tricked her into making her realize that nothing's going to happen to you. So first of all, God said that you will surely die, but now he comes and counteracts that and says that you will not die. So then Eve is now, she has made up her mind, she is looking at this fruit, and she sees that it's good to her eyes, it's good, it's pleasant to the eyes, she's lusting after this fruit, and then she makes And when she thinks back of what the serpent says, that this fruit is going to make me wise, what? Eve did not, she did not stop for a moment to reflect what God has said, that you will surely die. Yet she was, you know, mesmerized by this fruit that the devil told her to go ahead and eat. It's going to make you wise. I don't know why in my mind, I don't know why Eve did not think that God has the power to make her wise. That the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But no, she took that fruit and she ate it. And the Bible says that Eve, not only did she just eat it by herself, she dragged Adam into this, right? So it says that she gave it to her husband, and he did eat. So here also, Adam didn't stop and said, well, wait a minute, Eve. God said not to eat. We're not going to do this. He just took it and ate it because his wife gave it to him. I don't know if you see the thing behind this, but as husband and wife, we have to be accountable. We have to be like accountability partners. Like, why are you sinning? Why are you doing this when God said not to do this? But the Bible says she gave it to him and he ate it. He didn't discuss with her. He didn't tell her what God had said. He wasn't the priest in his home that stood up for what was right. He partook with this sin that the devil deceived them with. So this verse tells us when we have an interaction, that conversation with the devil, we stand on a dangerous path. Because it's when we start and have a conversation with the devil, that's when the evil one can lure us into doing what is wrong and what is against God's will. So because Eve went by herself and she was listening and she just stood there and listened to the serpent that told her a message that was contradictory to what God had told her. God told her not to eat of the fruit. But she did not listen. But because of that, they were cast out of the garden. They no longer had access to this beautiful garden that God had himself had made, that was to serve them as their home. They entered into a life, a sinful life right now. But praise be to God, as we listen later on for the service, we'll learn how, even though sometimes that we do fall and we do not listen to God, God has created a back door of escape for us. That if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May we today look at this verse and be reminded the importance of listening and obeying the voice of God. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Principal LeBron, for that scripture reading and interpretation. And once again, you just joined us. Our theme today is, how long can we continue to blame Adam and Eve for our own willful sinning? Our own willful sinning. And she summarized that very well, because it was talking about the when man went out here, the serpent went contrary to God's word. That's when we by us giving them the time to listen to that, that's where we go wrong. So the minute you hear somebody go contrary to God's word, that's the time to flee. That's the time to flee. Because otherwise, standing there listening, you may get caught up into the lie or the trap. And it's just like, and this is no disrespect to men or women, but it's just, and I say men particularly because we're usually the ones who pursue a woman. And if we're pursuing you and we're going contrary to what God has said, that is definitely the time. And I'm not putting us as men down. Please don't interpret it that way. Or, of course, never putting women down either. But men, we're the ones who usually pursue the woman. The Bible tells us the man that findeth, the one man that findeth, the man that findeth the wife. In Greek, in Hebrew, the word wife means woman. So the man that findeth a woman, or man that findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. So we're the ones looking for you all, you know, to get to you, to pursue you. You're the gift, in my opinion, you all. And when we start going with our lines, I didn't say necessarily lies, we probably do some of that too, but our lines to get to you, to win your heart. But if it goes contrary to God's word, then that's the time to flee. And I forgive me if that's a bad analogy, but I'm just saying, I'm trying to bring it into play here because the serpent, and we're not, certainly I'm not associating man with a serpent, that snake, that evil one. But I'm just saying, when anytime anybody, it could be a man talking to another man, for example, and giving him something that's contrary to God's word, or a woman talking to another woman, not in pursuit of them in this case, but just to go contrary to God's word, you know, by saying that, why would you think that there's a God that exists? You know, the Bible is not for real. You know how people come along who may be atheists or agnostic, and they're telling you something contrary to what you grew up believing or you come to accept for yourself, that goes contrary to God's will. That's the time to not even, in my opinion, don't stand there and have a debate with that person, because that's contrary to God's word. You know, so who created this here? Man? There's no way. There's no way a man in our format that's on earth has that mind or mental capacity. At least that's how I feel. Ms. O'Brien, did you want to say anything else in the next 30 seconds to kind of bring that home in addition to what you've already said? All right, perhaps she's just listening in or on mute. All right, let's go ahead now with, we're going to have an early morning testimony, a brief testimony by Sparkles. Sparkles, once again, welcome to today's program and good to have you. Sparkles, an early morning brief testimony.
Oh, good morning. Good morning, everyone. So this morning, I want to give a praise report. You know, a while back, I don't know, some of you might remember, I had asked for a prayer for a friend of mine by the name of Miss A. She was in ICU and wasn't doing good. She was in ICU actually for 2 weeks on a ventilator. And all, and things just weren't looking good. But in the midst of that, she came out of the off of the ventilator. However, still critical. Organs were still not functioning to capacity. They were really failing and all and stuff like that. But God, He still had His hand on her, and she got off of that ventilator. And even though her organs weren't up to par and she was on dialysis, God was still working. She went home after being in the hospital for about a month and a half. She had to go on dialysis and go to dialysis treatment, but even in that, God was still working. About a month into dialysis. Praise God, she is off of dialysis. She is off of dialysis. Normally, people go on dialysis, you don't hear them coming off of it. But He got off the ventilator. God was working in that instant. All praises to him. She's not on dialysis. All praises to him. She's resuming her normal daily life activities, back walking and doing the things that she was doing prior to. And I just want to give a praise report on that. That God is working, even when man says the opposite, that it's impossible, it doesn't look good, and all the negative. God is saying, it's possible with me. So I just wanted to give a praise report to everybody and all that stuff like that of the miracles that we saw, I saw, and others around me saw and continue to see in her. And so she is a walking, living testimony. I wanted to share that with everyone this morning.
Thank you so very much for that, Sparkles. That's beautiful. That is absolutely, absolutely beautiful that you shared that praise report with us. Thank you. And but God, as you said, but God, he'll do it again and again and again. Thank you for that. What a blessing. What a blessing. So never give up. All right, this time we want to also welcome Sister Brignotta Joyful Bay. Sparkles will come back with us and share our food for thought this morning momentarily. But let's go ahead and bring in Sister Brignotta Joyful Bay to give us our focal point this morning. Good morning, Joyful.
Good morning, and good morning to everyone. And thank God for having me this morning. I'm going to be reading from the Amplified Version from the Living Bible. One moment, I'm sorry. My information here just went away. Hold on one second. All right. So I'm going to be reading from the Amplified Version, the Everyday Life Bible. And I will read from Genesis 1, 26, and some 9. God said, let us, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, make mankind in our image, after our likeness, and let them have a complete authority over the fish of the earth, the birds of the air, the things eat, and over all the earth, and over everything that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image and likeness of God, he created him, male and female. He created them, and God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, using all its vast resources in the service of God. And then have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves upon the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the land and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. God was clear. He created them, not just him, but them in Genesis chapter 1. Now we're going to go to a familiar scripture that you just had. And no, we didn't get together and discuss this, but I will be reading from Genesis 3:1-6 as well. Now the serpent was more subtle and crafty than any living creature of the field which the Lord God had made. And he, Satan, said to the woman, can it really be that God has said, you shall not eat from every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit from the trees of the garden, except the fruit from the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God said, you should not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing the difference between good and evil, and blessings and calamity. And when the woman saw that the tree was good, pleasurable for food, and that it was delightful to look at, and the tree to be desired in order to make one wise, she took of it and ate, and she gave some also to her husband. Now, I looked up at her, Adam. Adam was clothed with God's glory before he sinned. As soon as Adam sinned, they realized they were naked. We might say that they lost their covering. As long as they obeyed God, they were protected from everything the devil wanted to do to them. And ultimately, through them, seeing that the devil, seeing what the devil had done, God immediately announced Satan's doom and told him how it would occur. Satan did not really understand what God was saying. Nevertheless, God said it, and it had to come to pass. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offsprings and her offspring. He will bruise and tread your head underfoot, and you will lie in wait and bruise the head. And that's Genesis 3:15. Now, to interpret that, to bruise the head symbolizes a weakening of authority. God had said that the woman's offspring, Jesus, will take away Satan's authority. Satan will bruise Jesus' heel, afflict his body, both on the cross and by afflicting mankind. Through Jesus' death on the cross, God took Satan's authority, which Adam, Jesus, and then to every person who will believe. Not only that Jesus died for them, but also that Satan has lost his authority over them. We need to understand not only that Jesus died for us, but also that he has redeemed us. No matter what the devil tries to do to you, he is doomed to defeat. And you are redeemed and victorious over him in Jesus Christ. Now let's bring it home. Isaiah 43:18-19. Do not earnestly remember the former things, neither consider things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive and know it? And will you not give heed to it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Consideration of Isaiah 43:18-19. Seems to indicate that you and I can cooperate with God's plan. For he says, will you not give heed to it? We can release God's plan for our life by no longer thinking about the things of old, believing that God has a good plan for our future, since what we think about eventually comes out of our mouths. We will never get our mouths straightened out. Unless we do something about our thoughts, if we stop mentally living in the past, we can begin to think in agreement with God. Then once we do that, we can begin to speak in agreement with Him. By doing so, we can actually prophesy our own future. Now, Isaiah 43:25 says, I am he who blots out, cancels your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. So according to the scripture, we should not live in our past and continue to focus on what Adam and Eve did, but understand what they did to know the consequences of our actions. When you continue to focus on what Adam and Eve did only to escape your willful, sinful nature, which appears to give you an out to escape your responsibility for your actions. When you do this, hear me, when you do this, you continue unknowingly disrespect, yes, I said it, you continue unknowingly disrespect what Jesus died for. Praise the Lord. Thank y'all for having me. God is so good. I love him. I love him. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Joyful, for bringing us that powerful, that powerful focal point this morning that was very timely to fit in with how long can we continue to blame Adam and Eve for our own willful sinning. Very good, very good. All right, this time we're going to have our first miracle prayer, and we're going to do that just before Sparkles comes in with the food for thought. We're going to have Sister Candlestick. Candlestick will come in, and if you have a prayer request this morning, we're going to ask that you give her your name, your prayer request. Give it to her slowly. And if your name is kind of it's difficult to pronounce for some people, not necessarily you, the individual, but you may want to spell your name so she can get it clearly, because she's writing these prayer names down and the requests. If you want to intercede for someone, by all means do that as well, and so that she can hear you clearly. If you're not, if you don't have a prayer request, the studio picks up a lot of noise, so please put your phones on mute. If you'd be so kind to do that, we would greatly appreciate that. Sister Candlestick, good morning once again to you.
Good morning, Dr. Walker, and good morning, everyone else. I am blessed here to pray this morning on behalf of our loved ones. So who will be first?
This is Sparkles. Good morning.
Good morning, Sparkle. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I want to lift a prayer for all of our co-hosts. There's some that haven't been on in a while, and I want to lift him up in prayer. Phil Hayes, Dina Claire, and Cassandra. I mean, there are a host of us, and all, so I can't name all of them. I just want to lift them up in prayer, lift us all up in prayer, actually, and all that stuff like that. And for those that are going through all kinds of challenges and all of that, spiritually, mentally, physically, socially, emotionally. Lift up prayer for us all.
Okay, I sure will. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. That'll be another. This is Miracle Sabbath, you all.
Good morning. My name is Sister Joyce. I'd like to lift up a friend. I don't want to give his name, but his heart is heavy, and ask God to give him peace.
Mm-hmm. I sure will. Thank you, Ms. Joyce.
Pastor Roll, we want to continue to lift up for Sister Lewis. I know she's kind of been up and down in her health, and, you know, she's a prayer warrior too, but we want to undergird her with more prayer and continually bless our leader, Dr. Jesse Walker, who does so much above and beyond what most CEOs and leaders would do, because he really cares about people in other geographical locales. So we want to continue to lift them up and support the vision that he has, you know, in reaching out to help hurting and suffering humanity. So we want to keep Dr. Walker in our prayers.
Okay. I'm glad that. Thank you, Dr. Gold. And I'm going to go ahead and go with these names here. You know, we know that God is a miracle-working God, and that there is nothing too hard for him to do. And we must have the faith to believe that when we pray, God hears and he answers according to his will. So let us pray. Our Father and our God, we're thankful to be here this morning. We are humbled that you woke us up, clothed in our right minds, and having you on our mind to say, thank you, Jesus, for the breath that you have given me today. You know, thank you, Lord, for the portion of health and the activity of my limbs that I have. Lord, I say thank you. And Father, I'm asking you, Lord, that you will forgive me of any sins that I may have committed or that I don't even know I have done, so that when I pray for these loved ones, that you will answer according to your will, and that there's nothing that I have done that will hinder our prayers from reaching your throne, because I am a sinner like the next person. So, Father, I'm asking on behalf of Sparkle that you will be with all the co-hosts of the Jesse Walker Show. There have been co-hosts that have been missing, that have not been on for a while. They've been on sporadically. But we don't know all the things that are going on in their lives, and it's not for us to know. You know, some may be challenging, maybe dealing with health issues, some with financial issues, some with their children, family members, work, the job. We don't know. But we're asking, Lord, that you will put a hedge about them and that you will let them know that you still sit high and you look low, and whatever challenges that they may be going through, that they can always lay them at the foot of the cross, and you will be there for them. So I pray, Lord, that whatever they're going through, it will not hinder or stop them from moving forward in the name of Jesus, because in and of themselves, they can't do anything but trust in you. So allow them to continue to persevere and to move forward. I also ask the Lord on behalf of Joyce. She has, her heart is heavy. For a friend of hers, his heart is heavy. There are things going on in his life, and you know exactly who he is. And do, Lord, you know what he needs. So I'm asking you, Lord, that as a friend to a friend, that you will stop by and that you will stop with him. That you will, if it takes holding his hand or putting your arm around his shoulder, I'm asking you, dear Lord, to do that for him now. That you will lighten that burden that is on his heart, because it's too heavy for him. But then again, you said that you will not put more on any of us, and especially for him at this moment, since we're praying for him, that he cannot bear. And whatever the burden is, you will be with him. So I'm thanking you, dear Lord, for what you're doing in his life, and allow him to see that you are moving in a mighty way. I'm also asking, dear Lord, on behalf of Pastor Rowe, he is asking prayer for Sister Lewis. because she is normally on the line, and she is a powerful prayer warrior for you. That is her mission, to lift up that burden in the hearts of those who may not even sometimes know how to pray to the Lord. You know, she said in your word that our moanings and our groanings, the Holy Spirit will interpret them for us. And so, Lord, I believe that's what Victor Lewis does for those who are just burdened down with pain and maybe with guilt and whatever else goes along with that. So I'm asking, Lord, that you will be with Victor Lewis, because as she prays for others, she is having some difficulties with her health as well. So, Father, be the doctor that Victor Lewis needs in her life at this time. And we also lift up, Father, Jesse Walker. He is a visionary. You have given him this this mission, and I'm asking, Lord, that you will continue to be with him, make the vision plain. And just like in the Bible they did with Moses, they helped to hold his hands up so that he may not get weary in well-doing. So I'm asking, Lord, that as we who are co-hosts with Dr. Walker, that we will continue to lift, hold his arm up, allow him not to get weary in well-doing. And I pray, Lord, that you will make his path, his mission plain to him, so that he will know without a shadow of a doubt what you have in store for him. And I pray, Lord, that he will not lean to his own understanding, but in all his ways acknowledge you, and you will direct his path. So I'm thanking you, Father, for this time of prayer. And I know, Lord, that you will do what's best for each and every person that is lifted up in prayer. I thank you, Lord, for allowing me, your humble servant, to pray on behalf of these names. Bless them all and keep them, and even keep myself as we look forward in the name of the Lord. In your son Jesus' name, dear Lord, we pray and thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for such a beautiful and powerful prayer this morning, Candace Day. At this time, we want to move forward with Sparkles Food for Thought this morning. Sparkles, once again, welcome.
Welcome. Good morning, Dr. Walker and the co-host and the listening audience. Psalm 90:14 says, "Oh, satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness, that we may sing of joy and be glad all of our days." Food for Thought is a saying I came across that I would like to share with you. That is this morning, entitled, "Father, Forgive Me." Father, forgive me, for I am a sinner in desperate need of your grace. Forgive me for the sin I name as less than sinful. Forgive me for hating the sin in others more than I hate my own sin. Forgive me for every moment when I love what you call evil. Forgive me for loving my pleasure more than I love you. Forgive me for those times when I complain to you more than I praise you. Forgive me for the times when my talk is not shaped by love for you, but a love for you and others. Forgive me for those moments when I fail to give others the grace you given to me. Forgive me for the time when I want control rather than resting in your control. My brothers and sisters, I want to share with you this morning this song to encourage you. And it is entitled, can y'all hear me?
No, go ahead.
Okay, I headphones on. Okay, so I want you all to listen to this this song this morning to encourage you. You to know that when you fall down, make mistakes, we can get back up again. God is always waiting for us and mercy. Blessings upon you all until we meet again. God bless, Sister Sparkle.
All right. Thank you, Sister Sparkle, for that. We're going to bring Sparkle back in just a moment to give us a testimony as well this morning. In just a few minutes, but our theme today, if you just joined us, is how long can we continue to blame Adam and Eve for our willful sinning? And so this morning, what we want to be able to do is the speaker for the hour, you know, will be a concert. When I say a concert, we will be in unison and we will talk about this here. I will ask some questions and point out some things in reference to this. How long can we continue to blame Adam and Eve for our willful sinning? And at that time, you know, you may feel free to chime in. Just give your name and so that we'll know who's speaking. And give a 20-second, if you can, 20-second presentation on a question that I may ask or a scenario that I may present. Give your view on that. And we may take multiple views, and you may come in at that time, because I think that there are times when the Holy Spirit impressed upon my heart that it's not one speaker that needs to cover. One size does not always fit all. And so when it takes multiple speakers, because it's just like this morning when Joyful was given her focal point, I received a text to say, I've never heard it presented that way. And so sometimes, I mean, for example, we can hear a message on faith, a sermon or a presentation on faith, and I can hear it 500 times, and each time it's sends a different message, but nevertheless a message of hope, a message to present with us, something that we need to hear, and it was just presented in a different format. And sometimes I've even discovered that sometimes being in churches, I hear a sermon. That sermon may not necessarily feed me at the time, but the music may feed me. Someone's testimony may feed me. Someone's prayer may feed me. The spirit that I need, and I'm sure there are others who perhaps feel the same way or similar ways. So not every sermon or message that comes from that pulpit may be aligned to fit your need, but rest assured that someone out there, that message was for at that time. So it may be, you know, when we go and we fellowship and we have programs like this here, you may be thinking that, oh, I got off the air. This wasn't for me today. But rest assured, just keep praying that someone is fed by whatever was presented. So today, once again, we will do this in a concert effort, and we ask that you respect that time. If you're going to give a response, and of course, this is all each person's own. It's just like our faith in our belief in God. It's a personal matter. It's a personal matter. And so it certainly is. That's why we give the disclaimers on our weekly shows. Michelle is not here to give the disclaimer for this one this morning. But we're giving our opinion as we interpret things. And we have so many denominations and religions out here. And that goes to show right there. It's not an element to indicate that God is a confusing God. It's just that we as human beings have interpreted things differently. So it certainly helps when we say, well, this is my subjective opinion. This is just how I interpret these things. So which does not mean that it's absolute, because someone else can read John 3:16, for God so loved the world, and interpret it differently than we do. I just want to point that out. So at this time, we'll go ahead and bring Sparkles back in and give us her testimony. Sparkles, thank you.
Oh, thank you. So I have a testimony that I would like to share with everyone. This was about 2 weeks ago. So I have a dear friend, and I call her my mama number two. So my mama number two was on her way over to my home, and upon getting to my home, she was stopped at a traffic intersection. And while she was at the intersection and all, and the light turned green, all of a sudden she had to sneeze, and in a split second, she opened her eyes, and there was a truck right in front of her, crossing her pathway in the intersection. And my mama number two, all she could say was, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because she realized in that split moment that that situation could have gone terribly wrong. That truck, if she had not sneezed, gone through the intersection because the light was green for her, that truck would have T-boned her, would have hit her, and the outcome more than likely wouldn't have been pretty. It could have been hurt very badly or, at worst, killed. But I want to say that in those moments, she recognized God, okay? And God encamps us all when we're out and about, from all kinds of dangers seen and unseen, and protecting us. And that he most certainly did on that particular Saturday, that he spared her life by a simple sneeze. So I wanted to share that with you, Saints, this morning and all that stuff like that, that, you know, to thank God and all that stuff like that for his invisible shield that he has surrounding us each and every day as we go to and fro and that we will be mindful to give him praise always.
I want to share that testimony with you all this morning. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you for that, Apostles. She sneezed, and that split second of time that she sneezed right there is just another but God moment. And that reminds me of a sermon that I heard from Dr. Martin Luther King, and his message was, if I had sneezed, and of course you can certainly go to YouTube and look that up. If I had sneezed, and in this case, her mama number two sneezed, which was a God moment. And Dr. Martin Luther King, he was doing a book signing, and a woman whom he identified as a demented woman asked him if he was Dr. Martin Luther King. When he said yes, she stabbed him, and it came so close to his aorta, which is the nerve, a major vein, and it could have killed him. And the doctor told him, say, if you had sneezed, then you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be alive if you had sneezed. So just like with her mama number two, God allowed her to sneeze for her safety and security. To save her life, to spare her life. And in this case with Dr. Martin Luther King, if he had sneezed, it would have taken his life at that moment. But nevertheless, this goes to show that God has a purpose for each and every one of our lives, because he's not finished. And for all of us out here, where there's life, there is still hope for, let's not be twisted about it. You know, you want to find something that you can do to manifest God's will for someone else, not only for yourself, but manifest God's will by helping somebody else, even if it's sharing with them a scripture, sharing with them the love of God, even if it's representative of our own lifestyles. You know, we're all in this journey of life together. And I believe that it takes all of us to not only raise children, but it takes all of us to encourage one another. Because you never know. I mean, I learned something really deeply 2 weeks ago, taking on a new client. And I began to wonder why this client was so had such a cantankerous spirit. And then I ended up going into the culture, you know, her early childhood, which is what a lot of us therapists do. We try to go back into your early childhood to see who you were growing up. What was your life like growing up in that time? And then we try to see where you are. It's three phases of it. You know, where, how did you grow up? What was your relationship with your parents, with your siblings, grandparents, the people that were involved in your life? So we can get an idea of what brings you here today. And then the second stage of that is we try to see where you are right now. And then the third stage is trying to see where you're trying to get to. What is your mission? What is your goal? What are your objectives? And the same with God. If we have that consistent relationship with him, especially growing up, train up a child in the way that they should go. You know the scripture, you know, so that when they're older, they will not depart. So if we had that training, and then we get to the point of where are we now? Have we fallen? Have we backslidden? And then where do we plan to go? But sometimes that journey from our early childhood is not necessarily an easy one. Many of us have grown up differently. My experience may be different from the next person's experience. Of course they are. And so you don't know from day to day what someone is going through. But this client that I took on 2 weeks ago, I begin to understand how she is the way that she is because of her early childhood and certain things. And we have this theorist called Piaget, who talked about your development begins between the ages of zero and seven, that your personality is pretty much formed. Well, that's not necessarily altogether true. But it's very impactful when you start to read about personal development and growth. from a psychological perspective. And so even though your personality may have been shaped between 0 and 7 or 0 and 6, then certain things come into your environmental factors come into your life, like where you go to school, where you the environment that you live in, who your parents are, and your that association with those parents or siblings or friends, and then the peer pressure that you're shaped by in some cases. And so what starts to happen is we begin to change developmentally. Our body starts to take on a metamorphic state of being. You know, those hormones come into play as we're very young. And all sorts of things start to happen that we don't even always understand ourselves. And this growth process continues throughout this journey. So sometimes I'm saying this to say, when you go into that store and you find that there's somebody behind you in line who's in a hurry, we don't know what their circumstance, their situation is. And if you say something wrong to them, that could be your last day on earth. You know, so, I mean, we just don't know where, and that's why America now is placing so much emphasis on mental health. Mental health, and that's one of the components or reasons for that. Because, I mean, if you don't just take my word for it, if you look at, there's a booklet called Diagnostic Statistical Manual, a DSM book, and the latest edition may be a 5. I have that book. But what happens is every one of us as humans sit into one of these categories, and we think that we're normal. Whatever normal means, but every one of us fits into some category, because part of this is we don't know who we really are sometimes. We don't know how we will perform or act or conduct ourselves under certain situations or circumstances. That's why it becomes so vital to keep in prayer. And the scripture tells us, pray without ceasing, to maintain control of our own faculties. And I don't mean to take up as much time, but I'm just sharing with all of us here the importance of staying in prayer, to pray for someone else. You could pray for that person behind that's in the back of you. Lord, please give that person calmness. Please cause them to be still. Lord, you know, have angels to protect us. Because one little word that's the wrong word, could send that person off. And if you look at news like I look at, I get these captions every morning, and it doesn't look good. So as aspiring Christians, I would encourage all of us to be praying, to be prayerful of people. You may have a relative that's going through something. You just don't know. They might not even tell you. We have one of the ladies that comes online. She shared with me a personal story about her friend. She had just talked to that lady maybe on a Friday, and the lady seemed like it was just a regular conversation. By that Monday, that same friend of hers, a very close friend, that close friend had taken her own life and left behind 2 adult children. And so they can only speculate that because she had lost her husband and she was lonely for several years, she chose to take her own life. Had that friend had an inkling that she was going through something, she would have, and she shared with me, I would have encouraged her, I would have been on the phone with her, I would have went to see her. So we just never, never know. Sometimes people sound all cheerful and everything, you know, and they're, but there's somewhere along the way, all of us are going through something. All right, it's time for me to just move on with the program. I want to go ahead and, is there anyone that would like to say anything briefly relative to some of this that I just mentioned? We have about 2 minutes of time. Anyone speak to that, just briefly, though? And if you hear me say amen, amen, that means I've talked too much and it's time for us to move on. Sister Lewis, go ahead.
I'm so guilty. I just want to give God thanks this morning. You know, my son is hypertensive since he was 20 years old because of his grandfather and grandmother are very, very hypertensive. And so he gets the genes. And I first saw for my son was diagnosed with hypertension, 20 years old, now he's 45. And so last night he called me, he said, Mom, Guess what? You'll never believe. But I have eaten goes around Islam me to like me. And I'm saying where is he coming from? You know, I'm so much of just listening. And so he said I had an appointment with the dentist and I went and they couldn't do anything to my teeth because of my high blood pressure, too much less stuff, you know, and they said, you know, we need to spend it together. You know, anyhow, we said they sent him home. And so we had called him a few weeks ago and said and gave him a remedy that we got from a new naturopath. And they if anybody has a pen wants to take it quick, I'll be talking quick because Dr. Jesse's gonna say amen, amen. But so I told him, I said, get two eggplants. You know, and they get, which is called garden egg, get 6 bulbs of garlic, crush it, blend it, get some onions, 4 onions, and cut them up and boil them in a pot, maybe a gallon or a gallon and a half, whatever your pot can hold. And then you cut them up, you boil them for maybe 15 to 20 minutes, then take it off, squeeze 4 lemons and 3 grapefruits in there, and strain it, put it underneath the cupboard in the dark for 24 hours. Then we start drinking it. And for a long time, he didn't do it. Every time we called, he did. So last week, he decided to do it, and he called me maybe 20 times how to do it, but he got it. And so he started drinking it. He said, Mom, since I was 20 years old, I've never seen this blood pressure 110 over 65. I nearly jumped off the bed, you hear? But the Holy Spirit said, keep your peace, hold your peace. And I cried out to Jesus. I give him the glory. I give, oh, hallelujah, what a God, what a God. And yes, this blood pressure, but it came down a bit. So he said, Mom, how often should I drink it? I said, you need to drink it 3 times a day. He said, but I'm only drinking it once. I said, well, keep it one, but check your blood pressure all the time and see. And so I give God the glory this morning. I give him the praise. I give him the honor and glory. He's a mighty God. He's such a wonderful God. And I love him. Thank you, Jesus, because I know this blood pressure can give my little boy a stroke, and that would not be good. So thank God for all those who are praying for me. I'm praying for you too. Praise be to God. Thank you, Jesus, for your blessings. All those who have blood pressure, you can take it if you don't even have it. Drink some because it's good. It's all natural. So give up thanks for his nature and his natural remedies. Hallelujah. Praise be to God this morning. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that. I'll be calling you 20 times, too, to see how to mix that as well, like your son did. Thank you. And if you want to share that formula with us out here, you know, on any of our shows, and you can even send it to me, and those who will request it, they can contact me as well to get it. You talked about the eggplants, the 6 bulbs of garlic, 4 onions, boil for 15 to 20 minutes, 3 lemons, 3 grapefruits. And sit for 24 hours and drink at least 1 time a day and monitor your blood pressure. That's very, very good information. Sister Liz, we always welcome you. And we know that you're in the medical field as a retired nurse, but you never retire from the knowledge that you have. Thank you for sharing that with us. And we're going to bring you back in just a moment as one of our prayer warriors. But first, let's go ahead and have Sister Sister Candlestick, once again, come in and give us her brief testimony. Sister Candlestick.
Yes, I'm here, and I will try and make it brief. I want to praise the Lord for relieving me of pain. And I know some of you may have had problems with your back, but I have problems with my lower back, with my L5 and S1. And before I was diagnosed with that problem, I thought I really had a more serious problem because every time I would sit down, it was difficult for me to sit down because my back was, you know, I guess the vertebrae was causing so much pain when I sit. It was like, oh, my God, this is hurting so bad. What is going on? And, you know, I couldn't lift up my legs to put my pants on, or it was just very, very difficult. So when I was diagnosed,
set me up for some therapy, so I was going to physical therapy. But then a friend of mine asked me, had I ever tried omega-3? So I told her no, but I started taking some omega-3. And even like the first week, I could tell the difference that it was really, you know, really helping. But I still had to do my exercise to keep that lower back so it doesn't get tipped from me tensing up because the pain is so bad. But I was taking it, was doing good, and so one morning I woke up, and it was like a miracle had happened. I'm like, oh my gosh, where's the pain? You know, the pain was still there. It was still there, but it was very minimal. And so every time I got up, I was like, I'm still, every time I move or whatever, I was like, Lord, thank you, because I had been in so much pain. But what it also brought to mind, because, you know, I credit that healing not to the omega-3, but to God, because God has given doctors and different people knowledge to help us. And it also took me to the Bible about King Naaman, you know, when he had the skin problem, you know, and his the prophet told him, you know, to dip 7 times, you know, in the Jordan River. You know, and the king was like, I'm not going there because that's some murky, dirty water. But anyway, he did it, and he followed instruction, and Naaman's skin became like, you know, it cleared like a baby. And so what I drew from that is that it's not always the medicine. It's just about being obedient. Obedient. When the doctor tells us to do something, we must be obedient in following those instructions, because, you know, sometimes medication is written, well, you have to take it for, what, 60 or 90 days for it to get into your system to work. And so sometimes we'll take it for, what, 2 weeks, 30 days, it's not working, we stop taking it. But I said, Lord, thank you for allowing me to continue on. And I'm still continuing on because I see the difference. But I just praise God that I was obedient to do what I was asked to do. And I give him all the praise and honor, because I believe it's just about being obedient. And that's with any aspect of our lives. When we're obedient to God, God will show up and he will show out. So I'm just giving God all the praise this morning that I can walk around, I can lift up my leg, you know, I can get out of bed without pain. So I'm just praising God for that this morning. Thank you, Dr. Walker, for allowing me to give my testimony.
Amen. Thank you for giving that testimony. Omega-3. So I'm glad that you told that, because I got to – I'm sorry?
This is actually a vegan omega-3, because I didn't know that they had one for those who are vegetarians or whatever. But this is a vegan omega-3 that works as wonders.
And where do you get that vegan omega-3 from?
I'm sorry?
Where do you get vegan omega-3 from?
I ordered off of Amazon. I can also give you information that you can put on the website or whatever.
Okay.
So that those who are looking for it, they can purchase it. But yes, it is the vegan omega-3.
Excellent.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you for that. Thank you very much for that. Omega-3, I mean, it's amazing when we come together and share information. Pardon me, you all, I don't cook. I don't even, when Sister Lewis said an eggplant, I'm like, what is that? You know? So, it's like, what is an eggplant? You know? So forgive me for my ignorance. I just have no idea. So I have to Google that or something to see what it looks like. I probably, and she mentioned all of this stuff that I don't even like onions and garlic, but, you know, sometimes it's not. I guess they do serve, so all this stuff does serve a purpose, because God created it, and that's probably why sometimes we're not as healthy. Sister Lewis, is that right? Because we want to eat the wrong things. Our taste buds have acquired that taste for the wrong things.
Yes, yes. But it's a plant that is purple, looks purple, and it's longish,
purple.
And it's green, and on the top green.
Okay, is it fat at the bottom, kind of like at the root? Is it fat?
It's not a root.
Oh, a root, okay. When you said purple, okay. All right, it's amazing how God has created things and made them different colors. You know, that's not a dye, that's how it looks, purple.
Yes.
Okay.
So it feels like you pick a chocho or the queen, you know?
Now, Sister Louise, you know I don't know what that stuff is, but but anyway, help me, Holy Ghost. Somebody will help me out here. Okay. Okay. All right, thank you. I'll be contacting you so I can get the names of these things. And, wow, it's amazing. I mean, I live all this lifetime. My mother used to try to, you know, teach me things, but unfortunately, she would want me to sit there until I ate the squash, but as soon as she turned her back, I was throwing that away. So, you know, yeah.
Like a squash.
I should have eaten squash, right? Well, guess what? To this day, I still don't like squash. But anyway, nevertheless, to God be the glory for all the great things he has done. We're going to go ahead and go forward. We're going to go forward with anyone else have, well, we better go on. Sister Lewis, we're going to now move with you to be our prayer warrior right now. Sister Shannon, are you on? Okay, perhaps she's not on this platform. No, she's not on the other one either. So this will be our final prayer warrior for today. Once again, mute your phones if you're not asking for a special prayer request. But give your name if you are, and your prayer request, or if you're interceding for someone, please by all means give that name as well. Sister Lewis, go ahead and take us from here, and then that will be followed by introduction of our multifaceted speakers, and then we'll have the song of meditation, and then we'll go right into the message for the day. Sister Lewis. Yes.
I would like to pray for my niece, Helena Elise. And she's a young woman. She's 22 years old, but she is battling depression. So I just want us to pray for her because of her depression, she has two jobs, and they both have let her go, which has actually made her more depressed because, you know, like, there's no reason for her, you know, what's the reason for her being around, whatever. So please pray for at least that, that this depression thing, this demon of depression will lose her so that she can go on with her life. She's such a young woman to be in such depression.
Mm-hmm. And you said your name is again?
This is Candlestick.
Her name is
Elise.
Okay.
Well, my name is actually Eva. is my name. But, you know, on the show, the Jesse Walker show, I go with Candlestick. But my name is Eva.
Yeah, I love Candlestick. I love Eva. Any other request? I want to pray for Garrett, Mr. Garrett. Mr. Garrett is only 40 years old. He's a post soldier, but they're not caring for him because he's been spending enough time in the military. But he was, you know, he finished 1 year and some months and some days, he said, and he was discharged with PTSD, and but he didn't have no place to live, and, you know, no food, nothing, and his brother is here for him, so I want to pray for him and his brother, and he is depressed, he's also blind, what he wants, blind in one eye, and he said he's going to throw out his mother's home because it's rotten, lives in there, and so there's no way he's going to live. So I want to lift him up in prayer. He also used marijuana. He said he wants to stop. So we're going to lift him up in prayer. So, God, any of it?
May I ask a question right quick? Oh, this man had spent a year or something in the military, and he was discharged with PTSD, and the military is not taking care of him?
No.
Oh, that no. He
lives here in Houston. He lives here in Houston.
I don't get that subject. Okay, well, I don't want that much of it. But if you spend any time in the military, it does not matter how much time, and if they discharge him knowing that he had PTSD or illness, it's the military's obligation to take care of the man. I don't know if his brother here, which he's living with or working with him, someone needs to be with him because there's no way that this man should not be taken care of.
No way.
So just kind of do some more research. I don't know, but he should be taken care of. It should be that should not even matter.
That's true. But they just keep him on that.
Okay. Let's later on get my either I can give my number to Dr. Walker and we can exchange numbers and we can talk to Sister Lewis. Because I don't want to hold the show up. But let's do some more conversation after this. Because it shouldn't be that way.
No, I told him, and his brother, they should pursue it, go after it, because that's not good for him.
Yes, I'm glad we're going to pray about that, because God's going to answer that prayer.
Praise God. Sister Shannon.
Good morning, Brother Lewis.
How are you doing, honey?
Happy Sabbath. My request this morning is for Serena. She had brain surgery. The surgery went well, but of course she's going to have to go to rehabilitation. So lift up Serena and lift up a friend of mine, her nephew Douglas. He's having mental episodes, so they had to put him in Georgia Regional. And of course, being in that new environment, and she feels really bad that they had to put him there. I want to lift up Douglas and the family this morning. That's my prayer request. Oh, and one more. My friend Wanda, that is in treatment. She's on her fourth chemo treatment and preparing for surgery. Those are my prayer requests this morning. Thank you. Judy, your voice, love you.
Love you, too. Have mercy, Jesus. Have mercy, oh God.
Can I?
I have a prayer request. I have a prayer request on a veteran because I had a contract with him several years ago, and what that sister just said is true. I also know someone who was not taken care of and was excluded. So please, let the brother know, and the brother that's taking care of him, they do not have to lay down on that. And that's my prayer request, that they go forth with what you're trying to help them with, and the sister and Dr. Jesse Walker.
Amen. Great.
Hallelujah. Thank you. All right, we will go with this, what we have. I want to add Pastor Roll on the list. With his eyes, I don't know if he tried that castor oil, maybe in one eye first and see what, because I know it's very good for cataract and other things, and not only for cataract, but it's good for any poor, just put that castor oil on the area, and it will bring down any swelling, tumors. Castor oil. So in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. So let us go to God in prayer. Oh, what a friend we have in future. All our sins and griefs to bear. Oh, what a privilege to carry everything. I say everything to God in prayer. Are you weak and heavy laden this morning, cumbered with a load of care? Jesus Christ is our refuge. Take them to the Lord in prayer. It is our
morning that we know that of. Give us that water that does not come from the well. It doesn't come from Jacob's well, but that water comes straight from Jesus Christ. And so as we drink this morning, as we eat your flesh and drink your blood through the Holy Ghost, we will come alive, we will be revived, because Jesus Christ says, my peace I give unto you, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, hallelujah. And you're coming back to give us that blessed hope. Oh, what a joyful moment it will be when we all see Jesus. When we all see Jesus and we will live with you forever and ever. That's your blessed hope. And so this morning we want to place Pastor Moon in your hand, Jesus, with his eyes. It's not easy, God, to not be able to see because my brother has been going through blindness for over 30 years. Oh, mighty God, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you will touch his eyes today. And you will discover this many, 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 many years ago when you walked this earth. Yes, you just took the clay, you spat on it, and you put it on the man's eyes. You could have spoken the word. I don't know why you did that, Jesus, but your spirit, in your spirit, Jesus, in your spirit and make us whole. Hallelujah, we're talking about a God this morning, in the spirit. Thank you, Jesus, so Lord, as we lift ourselves into your hand this morning, touch us. All of our different problems, you have heard them. You have heard our cry. We pray for Sister Alice. Oh, Lord Jesus, she's only 24 years old, but she's depressed. She cannot even keep a job because nobody wants to divide Paul on their jobs. And so this morning, in the name of Jesus, touch her mind, Lord. Help her to realize that you are the greatest counselor, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace. You will never be with her, Lord. Be with her. You can take care of her mentally. In the name of Jesus, break down Satan's kingdom. We pray for Garrett. In the name of Jesus, oh mighty God, I tell him to give money to him. I've never seen his face. I don't know him. But Lord, this big man, 40 years old, Jesus, is crying his eyes out. Oh Lord Jesus, he said he wants to come off marijuana. He said his will. Lord, help him, Lord Jesus. I know he can live. Every time he picks up that marijuana, he hears the voice of Jesus. He's crying out, going away. In the name of Jesus, for him to understand, I'm trying to come because it's the police car, they cannot drive. He's not thinking to drive with you, right? It's the police car, trying to go to work, and all this fire just because somebody's in the office, the device that cannot look to my room. Jesus has so much confidence, he has so much confidence. He was discharged from his vigilant work, and here we are pushing his way aside that he's unworthy. Oh Lord, have mercy upon him. Help his brother to take care of him and to pursue some of these things so that he can get some Medicaid or something, Jesus, something. Oh God, he lives among the rats and his trailer is broken down. They're going to throw it away and leave him on the roadside. Oh God, protect your children, Lord Jesus. We see him on the roadside begging. Father, in the name of Jesus, I feel that box yesterday and sent to him. And that other lady is going to take it to him. So, Father, help him, Jesus, that he will not only be physically healed and mentally healed, but he is spiritually healed in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, for Sister Shannon's friend. Oh, mighty God, these are her big legs. Jesus, have mercy upon them. Serena, she's lifting her up this morning. She's going to have brain surgery. She had the brain surgery and she's in rehab. Give her a wonderful rehabilitation, Jesus. We pray for love you, Douglas. Oh, in many you know, a friend too. Mother says she's taking her fourth course of chemotherapy. So we pray for her, Lord Jesus. We pray for her that you not only take the chemotherapy, but you take some natural herbs with it, Jesus, so that her body can be healed and bring back those cells. Bring back those cells into homeostasis. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray for her as she goes through all these surgeries and chemotherapy. Lord, nobody wants to know that you have cancer. It's a fearful word, but in the name of Jesus this morning, speak to their mind, speak to their heart, and come near. Draw near, Lord, and give them hope. Hope that is only found in Jesus Christ. Lord, turn over their hearts to you. Help them to turn over their hearts to you so that you can give them comfort and peace. And sister Joy, we speak you up for the better. Lord, hear us this morning. Bless all of us. And Lord, we thank you for hearing us. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for forgiving us. And we thank you for planting our feet on the rock, Christ Jesus. Be with Sister Marjorie in the mighty name of Jesus. Be with them, Dr. Walker, as you put on these prayer time. Lord, may you bless him. May your face shine upon him and give him peace. Strengthen him, because I know sometimes he gets a little disappointed, he gets a little weak, but Lord, just hold him up with your powerful hand. Just feed him. Feed him with the good life. Feed him with your Holy Spirit. And all of us on this line, Lord, I may not remember the names, but Lord, you never forget a name, because you are the greatest prayer warrior. You are praying for us so that our faith is not. And when you are converted, you strengthen our brothers and sisters in the mighty, powerful name of Jesus. May we spend a wonderful Sabbath day with you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise be to God. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you so very much for that. Thank you so very much for that prayer. What a powerful prayer, Sister Lewis, to bless our hearts this morning. So now we're getting ready for our speakers, our various speakers that will be coming this morning, and we will do it in a concerted effort, and I will facilitate it and with a few questions, and then I'll close out with a message as I hear from the Holy Spirit. We're joined by someone who just came in on the program, and if that person desires to give their testimony, someone who just came in who wants to, may want to give a testimony of maybe an experience that they recently encountered, and they're walking by faith. They were in Washington in February. If that person would like to speak, I don't want to put them out there, but if they would just like to say a brief message of walk by faith, do you want to do that?
Hi, Dr. Jesse. This is Jermaine. I'm here.
Yeah.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Good morning. This is Ms. Janice. She's going to share her experience with Janice, and just in a brief thought. Sister Jamie, go ahead. We'll give you about a couple of minutes if you want to do it in that time. Go ahead.
Sure. Thank you, Dr. Jesse. I just wanted to join. I joined in the midst of the prayer, so I really do appreciate that. Just to give a brief background, I spoke to the board exam with Dr. Jesse in February, and I learned that I was unsuccessful yesterday. This is my second attempt, so I'm a bit discouraged, but not defeated. I understand that God has a plan for me and everyone else in this world, and I also understand that my timeline is in God's timeline. So getting past that point of wanting things on a worldly timeline is going to be a challenge for me, but I do welcome that. I do walk by faith, and I have incurred several trials throughout this process of becoming a licensed attorney. Just getting to law school was a journey in and of itself. So I will remain brief here, but I do understand that God puts us through certain tests in order to build our perseverance. So the Bible does say, be grateful for trials of any kind. because it does build the perseverance, and in time you'll be perfect, lacking nothing. And of course, perfect in his eyes is different than perfect in the world's eyes. So in this season, I'm just in definitely deep prayer and contemplation. I understand that I may not understand why, but again, the good word says that we do not lean on our own understanding. So that is what I will do in this season. But again, I will continue to persevere the timeline in which I begin to restudy again and try again. I may look different, but I do trust God in this season, and I understand that he is trying to do things in my life. So thank you.
Oh, amen to that. And I spoke with her yesterday. She sent me a message that the results came out earlier. And, you know, she shared with me, and I shared with her as well. And I told her that, you know, keep her head up, of course, and that I would walk this journey with her. I mean, I was reading various reviews from this organization called Reddit. R-E-D-D-I-T, and it's a heart-dropping thought to read so many people who don't pass that exam that they even reach the points of suicide, and husbands lose their wives, wives lose their husbands, people break up, they lose their families, they lose their jobs, and it's really, really a heart-wrenching experience, and unfortunately, the only people that really understand it really deeply, seriously, are the ones who've gone through it. And you can try to explain it to people, because I've been there several times, and they don't really get it. And there's no flaw on their parts. But that's why I was sharing with us earlier on the line that you never know what a person is going through, or what they've been through that brings them where they are right now. It could be some people have never failed anything in life, and I've spoken with those individuals. So they couldn't possibly have a clue of what it means to fail at something. But the good part is that, you know, I start to look at life as it's not what I always we go through, but what is what we grow through. So there's a difference. And Ms. Denise, I can tell you that you're having taken it the second time without success. You're that lawyer, ultimately, that I would want to hire for myself, because that means that you have the fortitude. You didn't give up. You're that lawyer who probably would be greater than a lot of the attorneys, because you know what the process is. Your faith, your strength, your endurance, your power kept you going. And your belief in God solidified all of that. You're that lawyer, ultimately, and I prophesy that I would say that's who I want. I want to hire this lawyer. Because if you pass it the first time, it's like, okay, she thinks she might know it. But having gone through it the number of times, like even I have, it's like, okay, that's the one, because they didn't give up. They strived harder. So your greatness is right in front of you. And I prophesy that. And, of course we're praying for you as well. All right. At this time, our speakers are diverse. It's a group of us, from our team, and from different walks of life. And that's being any of us, even if you're not a part of our immediate team. And this morning, as I present something about how long can we continue to blame Adam and Eve for our own willful sinning, feel free, any of you all, just identify yourself when you come in, and then if you can wrap your thought up or your response in about 20 seconds, that will certainly help us. And we'll take this up for about no more than 20 minutes, but we will come on shortly after our song of meditation, which will be done by Elder Jude. Elder Jude.
Yes, sir. Yes. Good morning, everyone. I've come to find in all my years on this earth, 50 years on this earth, there's nobody like Jesus, nobody like our God. There's only one God. And there's no one like it. There is none like you. No one ever can touch my life like you do. I can search for eternity long and find there is none like you. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I can search for all eternity long and find there is none. There is none. There is none like you. You know I searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater. Nobody greater. Nobody greater than you. Nobody can heal like you can. Oh, most holy one, you are the great I am. Awesome in all your ways, and mighty is your hand. You are me who carried out redemption's plan. You know I searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater. Nobody greater. Nobody greater than you. Nobody greater. Nobody greater, Jesus. Nobody greater than you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I searched high and low, couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater than Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for being our Father, our Creator. We're praying now, Father in heaven, we, as we get ready to delve into your word, Lord, we ask that you anoint us, all those who are being presenting within their 20-second time frames and slots, oh Lord, to give our audience an opportunity to hear from others, that somebody, and Lord, we pray that someone will be touched as a result of that which is being presented and responded to. And Lord, give me on my heart, through the Holy Spirit, the right questions and things to say, and others as well, oh Lord. These and other blessings, we thank you, and we give you all the praise, all the honor, and the glory. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, all those that love the Lord say, amen. So this morning, we've heard the scriptures from Genesis 3, verses 6, where it talked about, and Joyful reminded us this morning about the disobedience with Adam and Eve and the deception that Eve encountered with the serpent, who gave a half-truth. And she placed emphasis on the word contrary. And I reiterated, we're talking about the time. So now my question, and we'll take several people, and we'll go with this for about 20 minutes, is do we, you know, oftentimes when I'm thinking about the sin and the pain and the death and suffering that we go through here on this earth, is it rightful that we keep, and my mind reflects right back to Adam and Eve. It's like, why did you all do this? Why did you do that? But can we continue to blame Adam and Eve when we're doing our own willful sinning? Then who's to blame for that? So my first question is, can we really continue to blame Adam and Eve for our continuous failure or falling or our disappointments to God? Somebody need to talk to me this morning. Identify yourself and give you a 20-second response. Can we continue to blame them? Perhaps none of us know. Can we? I mean, that's the question out there. Can we blame Adam and Eve? Can I blame Adam and Eve that I want to go do my own thing? Can we blame Adam and Eve? All right, Sister Lewis, are you there?
Dr. Walker, I'll make a comment. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, we think about, you know, with God, this is with his just abundant love. You know, he had a backup plan because, you know, he knew that Adam, you know, what they would do, you know, but he just showed so much grace and mercy, you know, when they got out of the garden. And, you know, he put an angel in the door so they wouldn't go back and, but, you know, eat that apple and live over in that sand. But, you know, we just have to be so grateful that he commended his love for us, you know, and with the original sin that Christ died to liberate us and to, you know, to give us freedom. So we should just rejoice, you know, at the great love. You know, we can't, you know, blame Adam, you know. But God has given us such a chance that we can have life and live it more abundantly. So within the 20-second time frame that he gave me, you know, we want to just be grateful and thankful to God that he gave us a way out, and that's Christ's death on the cross, and he commanded his love for us.
All right. Anyone else want to speak to that before we move to the next question?
Yes, I did, Uncle.
Okay.
Go ahead. Well, no, I wanted to say, no, we can't blame Adam and Eve for our willful sinning. We have to take accountability for our own actions, and I'm thankful for God's grace and mercy.
Okay.
Amen.
All right. Sister Lewis, go ahead, please.
Dr. Walker?
Yes.
May I sign in, please?
Yes, of course. Okay. Mm-hmm.
We can blame anybody for our mistakes, but that would be a lie. We need to look deep within us and see exactly the cause or the reason behind the mistakes that we made. Earlier in the show, you talked about what therapists do. They go back to people's childhood. And I know sometimes we tend to put the blame on other people. We're not this way because we didn't grow up in a household where there was a dad. We're this way because my parents didn't show love to me, so I don't know how to show love to others. So we can blame anybody that we want to, but when it all boils down to it, we need to look deep within ourselves and really see where the problem lies and who the problem lies with.
Okay. So, Dr. Ritchie, and thank you for that. So, Dr. Ritchie, can I really say, ask the question here, am I any different from Adam? Are you any different from Eve? Because we want to look at the fairness of God, that the enemy has always said that he's not a fair God. So is it kind of, you know, right that in our subjective view, that why I got to be punished because of what my older brother or sister did? Why do I have to be punished because of what Adam and Eve did? I mean, are we any different?
How are we being punished?
Well, I mean, we sin. You know, we're the products of this sin. We're the reproduction of this sin. So we're the residual effect of it. So, I mean, if you have siblings, the older children get in trouble, and the mom says, you know, okay, all you all are punished. No TV for the rest of the year. You know, I'm like, Mom, I didn't do anything. So, I mean, you know, I was just born into this stuff.
Sometimes it's done as a an example to show others that, okay, they may have gotten away with it, but you're not going to get away with it. And then sometimes, not to show impartiality, everyone gets punished just to teach the other person a lesson. But we know that evil exists in this world, and we know evil existed in heaven before it existed here. And that is where evil began, in heaven. And so it's just a spillover effect, and as long as we remain on this earth, we will always have evil thoughts coming into our minds. We will have evil people living with us, working with us, around us everywhere. That's a fact that we all have to come to grips with. But there is salvation in Jesus Christ, and we know that when he comes, he is going to eradicate evil. So that is our hope that we have to cling to, but until that happens, we just have to face the fact that it's going to be something that we all have to live with, and it's unfortunate, but that's just the way the world is.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by, and feel free to come back in at any point in time. I want to put another scenario out there. The baby, the mother has AIDS. The baby is born, and the baby has AIDS. Is it really that baby's fault? The baby was born through this canal and ended up having the AIDS. Somebody speak to me about that. So is it different from sin? We're born into sin, shaped into iniquity. Somebody help me understand that analogy. The baby has AIDS now. I mean, this innocent baby.
Yeah, the baby has AIDS, but the baby is not sinful. We're all born in sin, which means that we have a tendency to sin.
Okay.
The baby does not have the ability to determine right and wrong at such a young age. We all have the tendency to sin. But unfortunately, that baby is going to have to live with the fact that they have AIDS. You know, nowadays, there's medications that you can take, and you can live a happy, healthy life, with AIDS. We don't know the life expectancy. Some people die early, some people die late. But, you can't blame the baby for what they have been born with.
Okay. So Dr. Richie, is it fair to say that we have a covering with Jesus Christ, because the baby didn't create its own situation. It was born into that. So we're born into sin, but we didn't cause the sin. The evil took place in heaven, so we just got kind of caught up into it. So do we have a covering that what we do here, okay, it's not all you all fault. It started up here. Mm-hmm. We wrestle not with flesh, but we wrestle with principalities in high places. So we're caught up in this mess, right? And so when I say mess, I'm talking about the sin. So now is our covering Jesus Christ, that hey, you're covered because he came. He, the innocent lamb, died for us. So you're covered. Hey, don't worry about it. You're covered. Can I take that attitude, Dr. Richie?
Of course. And that's the attitude that you should take.
So is that my saved by grace, mercy and grace?
You're saved by grace, and that's the hope that you have in the salvation of Jesus Christ.
Okay. So do I have to do anything to earn this? Do I have to do anything What do I have to do?
You don't have to do anything to earn it, but you still have to work towards perfection. You still have to live by the word of God. So there's nothing that you can do to earn salvation, but you still have to live by the word of God in order for you to make it to heaven.
Okay, so perfection. Somebody speak to me about this perfection. Because, we'll get on the air and we'll say, if you hear someone say, I'm perfect. I'm really perfect. So I don't sin. I don't make no errors. I mean, when you talk about perfection, is there, it's almost like normalcy. Is anyone normal? Somebody help me with that. Well,
that's already a lie.
Okay. So even then, I think so. So then how do we strive for, how can I be perfect? I mean, just the other day we had South Carolina, the basketball team, the ladies basketball team, that had a perfect season, 38-0. They won the championship. That's a perfect record. Can I, when you say we have to strive for perfection, how can I strive to be perfect? You know, and you're saying nobody, if somebody told me that they were perfect, that's a lie. So how can I strive? So you're telling me, if you're my parent, you're saying, boy, I want you to be perfect. I want you to be perfect. I'm saying, mama, what is perfect? You know, you said make perfect grades. You're saying be a perfect child. I'm born in sin. How can I strive for perfection when you're not even telling me what that is? What is perfection?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead. Sister Lewis, is that you?
What is perfection? Perfection is found only in Jesus Christ. As we accept Christ as our Savior, God has given us His power of justification by faith in Him. So, as Jesus Christ justifies us, it means that we did not have any good of our own. But Jesus Christ sees all His blessings. And He steps in and says, girl, what was your faith? Death, eternal death. But I am here to give you my perfection if you will just accept it. And as you continue to live every day, I will justify you. I will give you the strength to live holy, as even as I am holy. And you know, it's even better yet. I glorify you at the end of all this. You shall be glorified. So I justify you. I give you my life. I turn it over to you. Accept it. And I go on, I will walk with patient life, faith in Jesus. As you walk with Jesus, He walk for us, because you just have to have that faith in me now. You must have that faith in me, because there is no good in you. But if you just came to me, if you just hold on to me, if you just reconsecrate your life first thing in the morning, let this be your first word. Just be connected to the Bible. I will give you the fruit of the Spirit. I will walk with you until the end. And when the end comes, I will glorify you. I give you a crown. So when we look at perfection, perfection is only found in Jesus Christ, who we accept as our Savior. Not in us, lest any man should boast.
All right. We're going to certainly ask. Thank you for that, Sister Lewis. I'm going to ask you to stand by. Anyone else?
Candlesticks.
Okay, candlesticks, yes.
Excuse me. You know, and the Bible does admonish us, and I didn't look up the scripture, but I think we know it. But it is admonishing us to be perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. And I believe that comment that you made, if someone says that, you know, I am perfect, if someone can actually boldly say that comment out loud, then they are far from perfection, because that is a self-righteous attitude that they have taken on. And I think when we are, because Jesus Christ is perfect, and He never came out and said, hey, I am a perfect person. You know, so we don't have that right to boast on it, but we can strive and we can be perfect. That perfection comes along humility. Perfection to me is acknowledging that I am a sinner saved by grace. And I can only move and live and have my being through Jesus Christ. You know, and I must confess my sins every day, because, you know, Job, he gave atonement and he sacrificed for his children, because so that even if they did sin, or he didn't know that they did, he was atoning for them, even though we have to atone for ourselves. But we have to constantly ask for forgiveness and walk in the light. And God is the only one who can let us know that we are a perfect being. It cannot come out of our own mouth.
that we are perfect, but I believe that because it is a command, we can obtain perfection.
All right.
And when it comes to Eve, I don't believe that we need to continue to blame them, because we were born in sin, Satan's iniquity, but once we come into our own and we have a relationship with Christ, we stand on our own 2 feet, because at certain times God's not going to look back and say, Adam and Eve did this, so why are you still doing it? Or this is, so I'm going to let you go because they did it. No, we have to justify or stand on our own 2 feet and allow Christ to work through us to overcome that sin.
Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by. Thank you for that. And we've got about 12 and a half more minutes to go before we close out this morning, if you all will stay with us. So my question becomes now, do I have the right, or any of us have the right, to judge someone else? Okay, let me give you a scenario. Okay, the man, we know that the man, the deacon in the church, has seen a married woman in the church. We know, we've heard that, or I've heard that, or you've heard that. So I got my own stuff in my own closet that's going on. So can I actually stand up and call him out or her out? Somebody talk to me about that. What gives me the right? Or do I have such a right?
I believe what gives us the right is the word of God. Because the Bible lets us know that we should when we see a brother or sister in the wrong, and I'm not saying that we ourselves are not wrong, because we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but in love we are to hold our brother and sister accountable, because if this is out in the open and more than one person knows this, then they should be talked to about it. They should be counseled in love, and not pointing fingers at them, but reminding them of their position, what they vowed to do for God, and the life that they're living is not according to what they agreed to do.
Okay, so when we're calling them out, now, is it fair to say, according to Scripture, that our body is the temple of God? Is that fair to say?
That is fair to say.
Okay, so with that being said, so I'm eating all the foolishness, the crazy stuff out here. I mean, Sister Lewis said earlier about taking some garlic and some zucchini or something like that word, zucchini or whatever it is. That's probably good stuff. And I'm like, I don't want to take that good stuff because it doesn't taste good. Onion? Who can eat onion like that? So, and garlic. I mean, nobody would want to be around you. It comes through the pores. So now, but give me some french fries and a hamburger, right? So my body is the temple of God, represents the temple of God. So I'm calling that deacon or deaconess out in the church. But am I any better because now I'm weighing 275 pounds or 325, and doctor's like, you got to lose a lot of weight. You got to lose over 100 pounds. So how am I better? What gives me the right to judge them when I have defied the temple of God? Somebody talk to me, please.
Dr. Walker, if I can just make a comment on that. You know, if you see your brother in a fault, you know, Scripture says, you know, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, you know, considering thyself that thou always also be tempted, you know. So it's about meekness and the way you go about, you know, it's about love, you know, approaching a person in love instead of condemnatory, you know, it's a love thing, you know, and people, a lot of times, if you approach people the right way, you know, you can touch, you know, the God that's in them, because we all come short, you know, we all have sinned and come short, so that's my thoughts on that.
Right, so, but Pastor Rowe, let me ask you this, and anyone, if you're approaching me about my weight, the 325 pounds, I might take offense to that. I mean, you say to a woman who we think is attractive, and I mean, you say to even your wife, baby, look like you done put on some extra weight. You about to get stabbed, Pastor Rowe. I mean, somebody talk to me. So to approach a woman and say, girl, you look like, you know, you're getting kind of heavy there. You know, you think you're saying it in love, but now she's offended.
Well,
you know, somebody talk to me. One of you ladies, please. I mean, you want me to say, girl, you fat.
You know, the word God is a two-edged sword. It didn't, God's word didn't come to make us feel good. It didn't come to appease us. And sometimes it's straight testimony. It's supposed to hurt. It's supposed to get down to the core. But it's the word that's supposed to hurt, not the way this messenger gave the word. And plus, what you were saying about, you know, judging someone, by helping someone or pointing out a fault is not judging, because, you know, we don't have the final say so. You know, that we have facts for facts. It's not a judgment call. It's a fact. So a lot of us will say, don't judge me, because they don't want to know the truth, and they don't want to change, and they don't want to do what is right. That's why they will throw, don't be judging me. But no, what man can judge you? No man can judge you. Only God can do that.
All right. We've got about 8 minutes before we close out here. So the next one becomes Jack and Jill are married. Jill has the baby. Jill was, just had the body of Eve, Chancellor, if you can imagine that Adam saw. And now all of a sudden she has a baby, Adam's baby, Jack's baby. And now, after childbirth, she picks up 25 pounds. And Jack is all over her case. Look, I didn't meet you like this here. He doesn't understand how the weight comes on after having a child. Because men, we're like, girl, mm-mm. So she has a little pouch in stomach. So is that fair for Jack to offend her? If it was any of you ladies, would you take offense to that? And I'm making a point here. None of the ladies would take offense to that. Her husband or the significant other says, girl, you done gained this weight.
Everybody's so quiet. I would take offense to it because, for one thing, I had your child. I wouldn't say sacrifice, but I willingly put my body through this for us.
Mm-hmm.
Not just for me, you're going to have to work with me as I go through this process of losing this weight and doing what I need to do to get my body back in shape. So it is not fair for a man to downgrade his wife once she's had a baby.
Okay, so in going to the point, the relevancy of the point, so we're born into this sin, shaped into iniquity. What does that really mean? Somebody tell me, okay, I'm born in sin. That baby is born with that AIDS and shaped into iniquity. So then we know what sin is. That's contrary to violation of God's law. So what is iniquity then? Shaped into iniquity.
Iniquity is sin, but it's to a greater extent. You know, you're just not only sinning, but you're violating purposely. You know, you have a purpose. You don't want to be changed. You're gone. You don't care. You're going up into God's face, and, you know, you're very defiant of God. I think that's where this iniquity is. And when it comes to husband and wife, you know, putting on weight or whatever, you know, that is where this lust comes in. Many times we think we love one another. We don't love one another. We just maybe see what somebody has and wanted each other. But when it comes to love, when we think about God's love, that's the love that we need to have. If I love my wife or my husband, because my husband can put on weight too or maybe too slim, I don't know. But if we love God, it will lead us to love our spouses and our children. And you know, so if I love my husband, I'm going to help him and say, dear, let's go walk. So we can walk and we're going to eat better and we will help each other in our deficiencies. But not to, you know, just look mean, and you cannot be mean. Because God is not mean. God is love. Amen.
All right. Amen. Thank you for that. Sister Brignotta Bay, you're here now. We have noise in somebody's background.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we have noise in your background.
Can you hear noise now?
No. Go ahead.
Okay, so quickly, I just want to say, when it comes to willing the grace, when you want to tell someone something, there's a scripture, I can't find it in Colossians, we're actually supposed to ask that person for permission, because I said, God, well, how can I help people? He said, just ask permission. If you see someone doing something wrong, it's not your job to go tell them, unless it's a first meeting. You ask permission, can I give you some advice? Think about what Jesus did. When men came and said, stone her, he said, anyone without sin, cast the first one. They didn't bring the man up. They said she was caught. So we don't have a right to just attack people. We're supposed to ask for permission under grace to show love, like I've heard some of you all say, in love. And that's asking their adult, ask their permission. That's my comment.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. We have about 3 minutes before we close out. If you all would like to stay and go a little, for another 12 minutes, yay or nay. If I get the yays, we'll go with it. If we get the nays, we'll end it in 3 minutes. Yay or nay?
No, I can't stay on. Sorry.
Okay, those that can, we'll continue for another 12 minutes until 9. We'll end it at 9. Those that can, those that can only stay the next 3 minutes, let's stay with that. Dr. Richard, before you go, though, I want to ask this question here. Could it be, Dr. Richie, that there are other, I believe that there are other worlds that exist out there. Now, this is just my subjective opinion, that there are other worlds. It's too perfect for there perhaps not to be. So could it be that their sin does not abound on those worlds? So if that's the case, are we, someone said examples, you know, that we're paying for certain things to be an example to others. Are we the example or the test units, perhaps, that the other worlds look upon us and see what happens to us because of sin? And because I even call myself communicating to these other worlds sometimes and say, hey, listen, you all, you see what we go through? Please don't be disobedient to God because it's not worth it. My back hurts, my leg hurts, my head hurts. You know, we got pain and suffering down there. We have death. So if you all do the right thing, you don't have to go through this stuff because this is real. So, Dr. Richie, my question becomes, are there other worlds that sin did not abound on and they look upon us and say, I don't want to be like them. We're going to do the right thing.
I don't think so. When you say other worlds, there are other planets that have human beings.
Well, not necessarily human beings, but beings. Could be beings in a different form where there's no sin. Sin was only on Earth, in my understanding and research. So could there be other beings that God also made that has reasoning power, that has reasoning power? Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think so. I know that God died for human beings, Adam and Eve, flesh and bone and blood like we are. I don't think that there are any other flesh and blood and bones living on any other planets, worlds, galaxies, whatever.
Okay. All right. Candlestick, I want to bring you in here. Do you believe that there are other worlds?
Yes, I do. I don't think that we're exempt, and I don't know if any of them, so don't ask me.
Okay.
If God can do one world this way, what makes us think that there's not another one out there? And that's all I can go by.
Okay, Sister Lewis, do you think that there are other worlds out there, other creatures that God has also created, not necessarily in human form, but creatures with reasoning power to make choices, decisions?
There are other worlds. I'm safe. I went to them. I did the same thing. Tried his deception, but they did not listen. Only Earth, only planet Earth.
That's my understanding as well. Go ahead.
And so, we talk about Adam and Eve, yes. Adam and Eve did it, and we inherit it. We will not continue to blame Adam and Eve, because it's really not a good feeling, not a good
example for us. But Jesus Christ says, where the first Adam failed, the second Adam came and did it for us. So I just give thanks this morning for the second Adam. Hallelujah.
Amen to that. So, Sister Lewis, let me ask you just quickly, as we're wrapping up now, we're coming to the close of this. When you get into heaven, do you feel you, after you've seen Jesus Christ, do you want to talk to Eve by any chance?
Oh, yes. What
would you say? Why do you want to speak to Eve? What do you want to say to her, if anything?
I would say, Eve, I'm here with you. Praise be to God. God sent another Eve to rescue us because Jesus came. He said, I put enmity between me and the woman. So therefore, I say, Jesus sent a rescue to rescue you, and he sent a rescue to rescue me. And here we are, just We are so happy to be here for the great rescuer, Jesus Christ. We are here, Sister Eve. We are here. Hallelujah. Oh, praise be to God.
But do you want to ask her, like, I want to ask Adam, like, Adam, what were you doing, man? What were you thinking? Why didn't you protect her? You know, I mean, what? I'm like, man, why didn't you protect her? I mean, come on, man. You took care of the animals. You couldn't take care of the most beautiful creature that you've ever seen in your life. And so that's what I want to ask him. So do you want to ask her, what was she thinking? By any chance, any woman out there, want to ask her, what were you thinking?
I don't know. Is that, maybe she was just carried away by the beauty. I don't know, because she said she left Adam aside, which she had never done because God told her not to.
Okay, so she was taken up by the beauty of what? What beauty? The serpent who could fly at the time?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
She has never seen a serpent talk before.
Right. That was amazing. So you call that beauty?
Yes.
Okay.
Because she was perfectly beautiful. Nobody was the most beautiful himself.
Right. But now he was in the form of a serpent. In the form of a serpent.
But that's deception because she has never seen a serpent spoken.
Okay.
The serpent didn't crawl, so all I think she saw was the way he was flying. So that there was a different type of form.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and Candace, you say you believe that there are other worlds as well. That and then I my research indicates that the other worlds did not buy into Satan's ploy, but it was only Earth that took place. And so the Garden of Eden was, the Tree of Life was even protected by cherubims, angels with eight wings, and taken also, wasn't it removed from Earth, the Tree of Life?
Yes, the Bible says that. Yes.
Okay, why? Why was it taken? Because if we partook of the Tree of Life, then our sins could abound in heaven, because we can now eat from the Tree of Life to sustain life. Even that I've seen. Go ahead, talk to me. And we're closing out.
We would have been able to live forever being sinners if we were at that Tree of Life, where you say, because it was the Tree of Life. It gave us life. It rejuvenated us. And so we would have continued on in sin without having a choice to not do it, not sin.
Okay. Okay, someone said that the Tree of Life resides in an Arabian country, but yet it's protected by, then why was the need for cherubims, fiery cherubims, to protect this here? Why? Or was that for a time frame? Somebody talk to me quickly, please. We're closing out.
Okay. God did not want Adam and Eve to go back and eat of it because they would become immortal sinners. They would be no part of it. No part of it. We would just be living on in all this mess. And no part of it, nothing, no reconciliation, nothing. So God couldn't allow them to be sinful and eat of it. But in heaven, God is going to bring back the Tree of Life, and it will be for the healing of the nation. Hallelujah. Praise
Anyone else want to chime in before we close out? Because we're talking about, so as we wrap up here, so we cannot continue to blame Adam and Eve for our own willful sinning, because it becomes our own individual thing. So how do we, where's the hope? Where's the hope that if I'm depressed because this has happened to me, if I didn't get that job that I wanted, then it's like, and I prayed 3 times a day for 3 months, praying that I can get this job or praying to pass this test. Where's the hope in Jesus Christ that I have that these things don't happen for me? So somebody talk to me. Where's the hope? My faith now is in despair because I didn't get the job that I wanted. And God, I prayed 3 times a day like Daniel. And so I didn't get it. So somebody tell me, where's the hope?
That is why our hope should not be temporary. Our hope should not be in the things of this world. Because all of these things shall be burned up. I don't care what kind of degree we're going to have to in our name, what kind of houses we're using, what kind of car we drive, what kind of job we have. The only thing is going to take the dust is the corruption of Jesus Christ. So therefore, all these things are nothing in comparison to Christ. So that's why we should be wrapped up on kind of thing right now. Other things are just temporary, but praise be to God, we should, our priority should be to live like Jesus, to live with him. That's it. That nothing else matters. Nothing else. Hallelujah. Praise God.
All right, so as we go ahead, Joyful. Was that you? Amen to that. And you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Because so now the hope is, if I didn't get that job, if I didn't pass that test, you know, is it the end of the world, you all? Or does God have something better for me? And you hear people say, well, maybe it wasn't God's will. I mean, you don't really want to hear that after you didn't get that job, you know, and then somebody says, well, he's got something better for you. And then somebody dies and your family, you love them, and they say, well, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. I mean, and what's appropriate to say to people, or do we really know?
When we live in Christ calls every righteous dead. He said sometimes it puts us to sleep so that name may be glorified or whatever it is. But we just trust in God, knowing that all things, he didn't say something, all things work together for good. Those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose.
So if I didn't get that job, Sister Lewis, he said he would give me the desires of my heart. If I didn't pass that test, he said he would give me the desires of my heart. So how is that the desires of my heart if I didn't get it? And I counted on him by faith. So what's my hope beyond that?
My hope should be beyond that, because we should not rest and secure what we deserve of our heart, but that we deserve of God's heart. Hallelujah.
Okay. So anybody else before I close out here? Anyone else? Anyone?
God desires that what matters. God desires, because we can be asking to pass this test or to do this or to do that, to open a business or whatever. And God sees that in the end it won't be good for us. We'll be falling into all sort of mischief and hell. It is for us. When we meet Jesus, he's going to say, you know, I didn't know.
by himself. He don't need no help. Hallelujah.
Amen to that, Sister Liz. As we close out this morning, this, you know, the question becomes, how long can we continue to blame Adam and Eve for our own willful sinning? And I love what everyone has presented, because we can't look to Adam and Eve because that's looking at mankind for our flaws. And just like Sister Lewis and others have said, Adam was the first man. Then Christ came along, the innocent lamb, to die for our sins, that we may be redeemed back to the Creator, to the Father. And so we know no longer, and this message is for me this morning, you all, no longer do we look at man, and even on earthly man, whether it's a preacher, a teacher, a lawyer, a doctor, or, you know, God's word is absolute. So if you didn't get that job out there, if you didn't get that woman, she turned you down when you proposed to her, or the marriage had failed, no matter what your circumstance or situations, if you didn't pass that exam, you know, there is something, I believe this without a shadow of a doubt, you have grown. You have grown through this, and you have gotten to a point where it's like you have fortitude within you that says, I will not give up. I will not give up. It may appear that I'm sometimes out of character, but I will never be out of control. And so when you go back and you dig deeper and deeper to begin to understand certain concepts of what it is, and you create that relationship with God, because God may have said to the enemy, have you considered my servant over here? Like he did Job. Because God knows that you got that within you, that fortitude, that you will not give up. You will persevere. You will get stronger. You know, oftentimes I love watching boxing. And in the championship fight, I've heard fighters to come along and they will say this one thing. They will say when they didn't win, or a game that they didn't win. And they the announcer, the sports person, will come on and ask them in the post game, that's after the game is over or the fight is over, and they interviewed them. They say, what's next for you? And then I've heard them even say, well, I'm going to take some time off with my spouse or my loved ones, my children, my significant other. And we're going to, you know, just take some time off. And we're going to just figure this stuff out. I'm going to meet with my team. And, you know, we're going to talk about this here. We're going to look at where we went wrong. And then I'm going to make a decision. And the person sometimes is older or even younger, but they gave it their best at the time. And then what they come up with and says, well, it's probably better for me to retire. And sometimes people stay too long, like Muhammad Ali did. One of the greatest fighters of all time, stay too long, because it's in you. And I understand that, because I used to box. And so the thing is, it's time to move on to something else that's greater. And I look at Raven Johnson, I believe that's her name, with the South Carolina team. And they lost the championship to the same team the year before. And Raven Johnson took this as a revenge tour. Those are her words. And she said she studied the opponent's moves. She studied the moves of that person, because she knew that if they met up again, which was likely to happen, that she was going to be the one guarding that person. And so she says that I studied that person's move because I felt like I failed my team. So, you know, whatever you're going through, if you feel like you're failing yourself, the important thing is don't fail God, because he will never fail you. He will never fail you. So even in your failure, if what appears to be a failure was actually growth. And I'm saying this to all of us, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the situation is, don't you give up ever on God, because he will never give up on you. And if you didn't get that job, keep going. I'm told about the story about Brian Gumbel, the sportscaster and newscaster, years ago when he came out of college. He said he was offered a job, and this may have been about 30 years ago. He was offered a job for $22,000. I'll never forget it. He said, but somehow or other, he felt that he could earn more than that. He could have settled for those $22,000 on that job in the news arena. But he said something inside of him compelled him that he knew he could get more, because he knew how much he had put into this. And so lo and behold, he went about and he sought other jobs. Then he took on that same year a job making over $200,000. God can multiply you by tenfold if he choose to. And, you know, whatever it is, some situations are where you need a certain score for a test. You need a certain qualification for a job. But listen, let me tell you something. If that door shuts, I'm telling you all, and it's happened to me. I took a subject area exam after teaching special ed for 10 years. You would think that I know all of the special ed stuff. After 10 years of teaching this subject, then lo and behold, what happened to me? They said, now you got to take a test, a subject area test on learning disabled, varying exceptionalities, EBD, all the subjects that go with special ed teaching. I taught this for 10 years. They say, well, if you've done something for 10 years, you're supposed to be considered an expert. Now I'm taking this state exam. I failed it six times, came as close as within one point. You talk about that could have broken my spirit. And when the paper, it would come, the results would come in the mail, and I wouldn't even open it. I would give it to my oldest son and say, son, open this. And then he would look and say, Dad, I'm sorry. I knew what those words meant. I knew what those words meant. I cried and cried and cried. But lo and behold, I didn't realize that it was God who shut that door, because I've been doing special ed for 10 years. And I wasn't growing. You know, I was not growing with education. And then God sent me to another school that was in like the hood. It was in a community that I didn't even speak the language. It was a Spanish community. And I'm not picking at, there's hoods everywhere, right? Even in the best communities, you still have hoods. But this was, I'm only making a point. It wasn't as well kept as what I had come from. But God placed me in that area. I said, God, why would you take me from where I'm wearing a three-piece suit and dressed up and had the world laid out for me to put me over here at this place? Lord, where, you know, it's like, it was a horrible condition. But only God knows the future. And let me tell you something. I spent 17 years at this other school where God placed me. And that was the best I've ever had it in the school system for those 17 years, because God showed me it was time to move on to something else that he had in store for me. And he has the same thing for you out there. You didn't get the job. You didn't get the lady. You didn't get the man. He's got something, a plan for you that you can't even imagine for yourself. And I'm telling you now, for you all that's under the sound of my voice, don't you give up on God, because he will never give up on you. And those 17 years caused me to, I went from just my, and I'm not boasting about my education. I went from just having a bachelor's where I wanted nothing more, but I was never going past chapter 3 in the book to my students. For a whole year, for 10 years, I never went past chapter 3, because I'm teaching kids with learning disabilities, and by the Friday, I done spent all this week teaching them the same stuff, and then by Monday, they've forgotten it. I got to start all over again, so I never got past chapter 3. And in some cases, I never got to chapter 3. So all I did was learn the science of this stuff for 10 years that I could sleep of. Speaking in my sleep almost. But then God placed me somewhere else. And that's how I've gotten to where I am today. You know, went on and got the two masters, the doctorate degree, the JD degree. And God has just, I mean, elevated me in such a way. So that which you thought, there's nothing too hard for God. Nothing too hard for God. If you just believe that. If you believe that and you don't give up. And Sister Lord, I've heard you come on this show so many times. And, you know, you talked about your health condition, and you just rebuked the devil in Jesus' name. You and I were on the phone this week, and you told me about this product. And it's like, you don't lose faith. And you know what? You're our hope and inspiration as an earthly being to so many people on this line. Even when you're not here, people are praying for you. Because just to hear your voice, your cheerful voice, you know, brings hope to people. And if we can resonate that hope with knowing that Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the reason for the season. It's all about him manifesting his will. We will never lose that hope. We will never lose faith. We will never lose desire, knowing that he has our back. I'm closing out now, and would anyone like to volunteer and say anything as we close out, and then we'll ask Sister Lewis to pray for us. Anyone?
Dr. Nessie, this is Jimmy. I just want to thank you for allowing me to speak today. This was a word that I needed to hear. Again, there's so many things that have happened, but I do believe that God has a plan. So you asked the ultimate question, when do we, how do we continue to keep the faith? How do we continue to move forward? And I think that's something that I'll definitely ponder upon in my prayer time. But I do know that God has a plan, and I do thank you again for allowing me to join today.
And thank you for being here. And I'm going to walk this walk with you. I'm going to walk this walk with you all the way, because I see greatness in you. I see the potential in you. And I see that lawyer in you. So to God be the glory. God be the glory. Anybody else? All right, if not, Sister Lewis closes out, please, with prayer.
Praise God. Praise God. Father, in the mighty, powerful name of Jesus, we thank you for each and every person who come on this line and who wanted to come but didn't. Oh, mighty God, you know everything. You read our heart. Oh, my outward appearance, but our God looks at our heart. He searches our heart. He knows our motives. And so, Lord, we turn over everything to you. We turn over ourselves to you. We reconsecrate our lives to you this morning, Jesus. Oh, mighty God, we praise you, and we thank you for your goodness. Have mercy upon my dear sister who said she has gone 2 times for the Lord and been passed. Lord, help her not to give up. Help her not to get discouraged, because God knows everything. He watches over us. We are the apple of his eye. Hallelujah. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Help her to continue to walk with Jesus. Thank you. God said, I will give you the desire of your heart. Love me. Our desire be your desire. Oh, Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you, Lord, for caring for us. We thank you when you stand up. Thank you, Jesus, because the Lord loves his children and just like them. So we thank you. We praise your name for everything that happens in our lives. As she takes to be persevering. Persevering and never give up. Never give up. Never. Because God is able. Oh, God is able. There is nothing that God cannot do. All things are possible. We just want to wait on the Lord. Sometimes we want to run before God. And God says, come back, come back. Just learn. Learn to run ahead of me. Because I am able. I am efficacious enough to take care of you. Don't run ahead. Just stay with me. Stay by my side. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you for this session this morning. Gracias. Bless us on your holy Saturday as we go to church and as we praise your name. We want to thank you, Lord.
Just before we go, mark your calendars. Our miracle prayer day will be May 4th. You don't want to miss that day. It's Saturday, May 4th. It's 2 weeks from today. I want to just before we close out with our music, Sister Lewis has gave us a benediction, but I want to bring Demas Lear in, brother, a.k.a. Brother Lorenzo, just to make a comment. We failed to get him in earlier. He was on mute. Brother Lorenzo? Yes, yes, we can.
I'm
somebody's alive didn't leave.
Amen. Thank you for that. As we close our program out, Amen. God bless you. Happy Sabbath. Shalom.
Goodbye.